Game Nashville Sports Network. Let's talk races. This is Chasing Checkers with Chase McKay.
Checkered flag is in the air.
Oh, yeah! Woo!
Racing lives here. Your sports live here.
All right, boys, let's do this.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville Sports Network.
And welcome into Chasing Checkers here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. I'm Chase McCabe with you. Hope you're having a great Wednesday so far. We got a packed show for you. We're going to hit a lot of different things, including racing from Texas last weekend, Kansas coming up this weekend, and also a really cool event involving the Nashville Super Speedway that took place earlier today at the Gibson Garage. I was there. We'll tell you more about that as we go along. But our show is presented by the Nashville Super Speedway. Get your tickets for the Cracker Barrel 400 weekend simply by calling 1-866-RACE-TICKS or go to NashvilleSuperSpeedway.com. It was a fun one at the Texas Motor Speedway this past weekend, and we knew it would be because Texas presents such a challenge to these drivers. It's bumpy. It's an old surface. It's hard to pass with these cars. And we saw quite a few accidents because they were hitting the bump at the wrong time or at the wrong angle. But ultimately, it would be Joey Logano getting the win. And what a difference a week can make, because he got disqualified last week. He had a little spat with Chipper Jones based on how Chipper felt about some things. But ultimately, he gets his first win of the year and first top five of the year. This was Joey Logano with Fox Sports' Jamie Little after the victory.
Now the sport changes so quickly. It's crazy how he can just ride these roller coasters, and proud of the team. Fine if I finally get AAA insurance into victory lane. They've been a partner of mine since I've been to Penske, so 13, 14 years, and we've yet to win with them. So it was awesome to get that done here. The JL Kids crew is here, the kids, so we'll have fun with them in victory lane. A lot of people here, my family, they're at home. But hey, Brittany, the kids, love you guys. It's going to be a fun night.
Joey, you started so deep in the field at a place where all of you drivers said it's going to be so hard to pass. How did you prevail and win this one in overtime?
I just slowly, methodically, a couple at a time. We had a really tough pit stall situation. The pit crew did a good job at managing that and just grabbed a couple here and there. The car was fast. I knew that yesterday. I did a poor job qualifying and just grinded it out. Just keep grinding a couple here and a couple there and eventually get a win here. So it's nice to get one. Real nice.
Grind it out. That's exactly what Joey Logano did. And you'll hear a conversation with Ross Chastain a little bit later in the show. He finished second in this race, but I talked to him today at the Gibson Garage for the Nashville Super Speedway trophy unveiling, which was the event there. And I said, you think if you had a few more laps that you could probably get to him? He was very quickly to say no, that he thought that Joey made the right move, and Joey was ultimately able to get the victory. And I think, this is what you got to watch out for. If you're not a fan of Joey Logano, if you are a fan of Joey Logano, I think you're feeling pretty good, because usually it takes a moment like that, a win like that, to catapult him into championship contender. And that's exactly what I think this win has done. He only led 7 laps on the day, but it didn't matter. The last one was certainly the most important one to get his first win of the year. Ross Chastain was second, Ryan Blaney third, Kyle Larson fourth. He had won the Xfinity race the day before, and he dominated. He led 90 laps in this race, so looked like he was in contention to win, but ultimately came home fourth. Nice top five finish by Eric Jones in that Legacy Motor Club 43. They really needed that. There's a theme here too, but a top five for Eric Jones. Ricky Stenhouse Jr., nice run for them as well in 6th. Austin Dillon in 7th. And the other Legacy Motor Club car, the 42 of John Hunter Nemechek, in 8th. So top 10 for both of those cars. Christopher Bell, 9th. And Daniel Suarez with Trackhouse rounds out the top 10 at the Texas Motor Speedway. Brings up the standings to this point. William Byron is still the leader. Then Kyle Larson, Denny Hamlin, Chase Elliott, Tyler Reddick, Christopher Bell, Ryan Blaney, Bubba Wallace, Joey Logano moves into the top 10, up 2 spots in 9th. Alex Bowman rounds out the top 10. So it was definitely needed by Joey Logano, and he said on what a difference that a week could make. And he also talked about in the post-race press conference how a win like this can help erase some of the negativity from last week.
I mean, there's always a story next week, right? So I told my wife last week before we left, I said, watch, we'll go win this one. Hey, it's just how we do stuff, right? And anytime you kick us down, I feel like we come back 10 times harder and whatever that is in us. But we definitely had a fast car today. And like I said, it's nice to change the storyline.
Well, I certainly think that they changed the storyline. But look, Joey Logano is no stranger to having to do that, to, you know, maybe rubbing people the wrong way. I think he's one of those drivers that you either love him or you don't. It just kind of is what it is. But he ultimately kind of changes that. I think I like him. I think he's a talented driver. I mean, there's a reason that he's a three-time champion. And don't be surprised if he's in contention for that championship again this season, especially after a win like this. A lot of good tracks coming up for him. So I wouldn't sleep on that at all. But, you know, he kind of went into the difficulties of Texas, and that shows you what a good driver he is, because I heard the comment on the broadcast of, with this new car, you got to have some skill as a driver, and Joey Logano certainly has that. He talked about how hard it was to pass at the Texas Motor Speedway.
It's hard to pass, there's no doubt, but it's going to be hard to pass no matter where we go. All the cars are the same. What, I mean, how do you pass the car that's going the same speed as you, right? That's why everyone's willing to do something different to try to position themselves up to the front to get clean air. And there's a lot of two-tire calls today and those type of things. But there was room to race, right? I mean, there was moments where the top lane in one and two was the dominant lane. It was, you can go to the bottom and try that for a few laps. You can go back and forth and try different things. You know, three and four, there were some cars that were able to run high. We were not one of them, but there was cars that could do that. And make passes. So I really thought it became kind of pretty racy there at the end, you know, especially the second half of the race. I mean, I would say the majority of the races this weekend had a lot of big moments in them. So ultimately, I'd say it was a pretty good race weekend for Texas. I wouldn't take anything away from that.
I think that's very important because, you know, the crowd looked good. I'm told that ticket sales were good. But, you know, Texas has been a place that has kind of had trouble with that in the last few years. So it was good to see a good race and a good crowd. And ultimately, you had a guy that's going to get a lot of discussion. He gets the victory. I mentioned Ross Chastain. Again, we're going to talk to him a little bit later in the show. But his interview with Regan Smith of Fox Sports, I thought he put it well when he said this.
Yeah, that's a working class day. That's enough reason to go to Tootsie's next time I'm in Nashville. I want to head straight there. Gosh, that's a working day. Just no confidence in the car yesterday, and y'all saw that. And just the speed of the Trackhouse cars on Saturdays is just terrible. And we're just not confident, all three drivers. So there was one pit stop today that Phil Surgeon in the group, it takes a ton of people back at Trackhouse and on the box here and GM at Chevrolet. And they made me a confident driver all of a sudden with one adjustment. And it was small stuff. It doesn't even make sense. But after that, I was a confident driver. We still had a jack break. So hats off to Shane to quickly recover and get that other jack out there. But, yeah, just I can't drive an uncomfortable car. I can't personally. So as soon as they got it comfortable or at least gave me some confidence, we started going forward.
And a second place finish, which he needed. He's just outside the top 10 in points. So that was really big. For Ross Chastain. So there you go. That puts a bow on Texas and things will move to the Kansas Motor Speedway. But it was a big week with some news in the NASCAR world as they made the announcement that the championship race, and look, this had been out there, that the championship race was going to return to Homestead Miami Speedway next year. And it would then be a part of a rotation of championship races, so going to different locations, including going back to Phoenix at some point. But fans really like the Homestead Miami Speedway. The drivers really like the Homestead Miami Speedway. Here was Ben Kennedy from NASCAR giving the kind of the thoughts on what goes into making big changes like this. A little bit of a lengthy answer, but I think he breaks it down real well.
Yeah, it's a handful of considerations that we take a look at, especially as we think about moving a championship. I would say first and foremost, it's fan feedback, and fans ranked Homestead Miami Speedway as number one on the list of where they would like to see the championship in the future. And from what you guys may have seen and some of the fan sentiment so far, it leans very positive, which is great to see. So we listen to our fans, all of our partners, so broadcast partners, our teams, our drivers have input into where they'd like to see the championship in the future. So a lot of industry stakeholders that we'll collaborate with. And then, you know, I'd say on top of that, as you think about a championship race, ideally a warm weather kind of climate location. You can't race everywhere in the world, especially in early November. So there's a handful of venues and properties that we tend to gravitate towards. Thirdly, you want to make sure it's marketed and promoted the right way. Fourthly, Phoenix is a great example of this. I mean, you guys saw the over kind of $100 million project that we put into the reimagine of Phoenix Raceway. You know, Homestead isn't a Phoenix Raceway, and it probably won't be to that level when we come for the championship next year. But we are going to be putting some capital in that facility to make sure it is a championship caliber property when we show up to it next year. And then overall racing product. And, you know, I think this is another part of the discussion that we've had. We've been at Phoenix for a number of years, and you guys have seen we've made some changes to the playoffs. We haven't made wholesale changes, but a few kind of minor changes to the playoffs to keep that level of unpredictability and parity through it. So, you know, things like moving Talladega, you know, as an example, to the round of eight this year was kind of a storyline and is going to challenge the teams and drivers in a new and unexpected way. And, you know, we have a lot of confidence that when we go to Homestead Miami Speedway, it's going to deliver from a racing product perspective. It's also going to create a good amount of unpredictability for many of our fans that come to that race or tune in on TV, just going to a different championship venue and having it on the line. So we're excited to see all that. A lot of collaboration internally, a lot of collaboration with a lot of our partners. And we've been sitting on this one for a while, so I'm glad that we're able to finally press the button on it and send it out to the world.
That was Ben Kennedy, of course, from NASCAR, the Executive Vice President and Chief Venue and Racing Innovations Officer for NASCAR. Look, I have no problem with this. I like Homestead Miami. I haven't been there, but, you know, it creates a good product on television. I know people that have gone to it and have said that it creates a fun product there at the racetrack. I'm just glad that they're getting to the point where they're going to start a rotation. I think Homestead can be in it. Phoenix can go back in it. I would imagine Las Vegas is going to be a part of it. I'm biased, but Nashville could certainly be a part of it. I know it might be a little chilly in November, but I think it would be okay for sure. Obviously, the city fits it. The championship banquet has been here several times, so I don't see a problem with putting Nashville in the rotation. Maybe throw a short track in there. As well, if you know, Martinsville or Richmond, you know, something like that. But no super speedways. I'd be fine with that. I know a lot of the drivers have kind of said, don't do the road courses or super speedways. But there are a lot of options out there, and I have no issue with Homestead being a part of it. And I'm glad to see it go back there next year for championship weekend for the Craftsman Truck Series, Xfinity, and, of course, the Cup Series. Joey Logano talked earlier this week, gave his thoughts on going back to Homestead Miami.
Yeah, I'm sure everyone was surprised to hear this one. No one's seen it coming. But, you know, I do think I love finishing the season in Miami. It's something that I think as an industry, all of us got so used to, right? End of the year, it's cold in other places. You fly down to Miami, it's nice and warm. We got used to what that weekend felt like under the lights. Finishing the races, I always thought it was just a really cool environment to do it in Miami. So I look forward to going back down there racing for a championship. You know, I like that part. I like the rotation as well, right? I like that we move it around. That was one of the things that I always thought would be a great idea if we were able to pull it off, right? The Super Bowl doesn't stay in the same place every year. Why should our Super Bowl, our championship race, you know, stay in the same place every year? So gives our fans a great opportunity to see the race, right? I know a lot of fans travel to the championship race already, but there's also a lot of fans that are local that'll get to have the opportunity to be able to make a weekend out of it with a short drive, hopefully.
Yeah. And look, I agree with that. The Super Bowl analogy, rotating it around, taking it to different cities, different fan bases. I understand the weather plays a factor because your championship week, you don't have to deal with the weather. So you're going to try and go to warmer climates like a Homestead, you know, like a Phoenix, Vegas, somewhere there. I get that. But I'd like to just see a handful of tracks, like four, maybe five, go into this. different types of tracks, and I think that would be really cool. And I feel like the fans, the drivers, that's where, you know, they would want to take it as well. So that's the big piece of news from the week. Ben Kennedy also said that the Clash will probably stay within the United States or North America right now, and could go internationally at some point, but that's something that they'd like to keep, you know, in the U.S. at this point in time. Coming up next, the trophy guitars were unveiled today at the Gibson Garage for the Nashville Super Speedway for the Cracker Barrel 400, the Cup Series race, the Tennessee Lottery 250 Xfinity race, and the Rackley Roofing 200 Craftsman Truck Series race. I was there, got to see it, and talked to some drivers as well, including Nick Sanchez. He drives the number 48 in the Xfinity Series. You'll hear that conversation with him coming up next here on Chasing Checkers, presented by the Nashville Super Speedway on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Chasing Checkers is on The Game Nashville Sports Network.
Chasing Checkers, 102.5, 106.3, The Game here on The Game Nashville Sports Network as well. You can find the podcast just by going to thegamenashville.com or subscribing to Chasing Checkers wherever you get your podcasts, on YouTube as well. Earlier today, I had the opportunity to go down to the Gibson Garage, which is a really cool place. If you're into music, or even if you're not, go check it out. I mean, they got all the guitars and stuff. It's really, really cool. But obviously, the Gibson guitar has been synonymous with racing in Nashville, whether it be at the fairgrounds or the Nashville Super Speedway, for many, many years. That's what the winner gets. That's the trophy. And earlier today, the new trophies were unveiled. My good friend Jill Jelnick from Fox 17 was the MC. Matt Greachy, the general manager of the Nashville Super Speedway, was there. You'll hear from him in just a little bit. And then drivers Ross Chastain with the Cup Series, Nick Sanchez with the Xfinity Series, and Dawson Sutton with the Craftsman Truck Series were all there. Had the chance to talk to all three, but we start things off with Nick Sanchez. He drives for Big Machine Racing, based right here in Nashville, in the number 48 car.
I was telling Nick before we went on the air, he doesn't remember this, but I interviewed him right before his first ARCA race in Daytona, probably 5 years ago, maybe something like that. But you've come a long way since then.
Yeah, it's definitely been a while since that 2021 race. But yeah, thanks for having me.
Wait, hold on real quick. How did you do in that race?
I wrecked.
Thanks a lot, Chase. Sorry for that.
Sorry to bring that up. But how's it been going with Big Machine in your first year with them?
Yeah, you know, it's been great with the team. Obviously, you know, they had pretty good success with Parker Kligerman the past 2 years, and I wanted to come take it to another level this year. And we started off the season good, but as of lately, we've been contending for wins the last three races, and we're close, so it's been pretty good.
You're one of those up-and-coming drivers, but I like your path, how you've done it, going ARCA and, you know, run some trucks, run some Xfinity, not trying to dive into the deep end too much. How much has that helped you grow over the last few years?
Yeah, it's been everything, right? You know, when you look at modern-day NASCAR, it's very easy to skip series, but I've done the true, you know, grassroots to where I am now, progression, right? You know, going from late models to ARCA to trucks to Xfinity, and hopefully in the future Cup.
How do all you guys start go-kart racing, right? Is that how you got it going?
No. It kind of depends on your background and your path. For me, I started in road course karting. A lot of guys in NASCAR start, you know, on oval go-karts, which are two totally different things, or right? Dirt. So it's a totally different background.
I couldn't do that here, could I?
It's not as popular, I would say, in Nashville for sure.
Right.
You know, the open wheel karting scene is, growing up in Miami, that was really everything. You'd have a lot of IndyCar and F1 drivers, you know, have winters in Miami, and, you know, the local kart track there was just popping with them. So it's really prominent over there, but not really so much here.
So how did you know you were built for that? I mean, this was what you wanted to do. Did you just destroy people on that track?
No. I just begged my parents that I wanted to become a race car driver, and they obviously, you know, gave me the opportunity to chase that dream. So it was something that I woke up one day and I wanted to do. I always had a love for cars, not necessarily racing. I had a love for cars, and, you know, I had 5 acres where I grew up in Miami, and I always had, you know, side-by-sides and UTVs. So it's something I was familiar with, and I knew I loved driving and I was good at it. But I wanted to see how I could do in racing, and here I am.
You mentioned earlier, this is you've been 12 weeks in a row you're racing.
Yeah, yep.
And so
first off weekend.
So what are you going to do? Get watch ready. Racing?
Yeah. Obviously watch racing, and then get ready for my next race in about 2 weeks. So it never stops, right? You know, just because you have an off weekend, just because you have a couple days to relax, doesn't mean you stop working. So I just try to treat it like it's a race weekend.
Nick Sanchez is with us, Xfinity Series driver. Do you spend a lot of time in the sim?
A lot of time, yes.
Yeah.
What is that?
The simulator.
Yeah.
Chase, you guys in the jargon.
You do iRacing?
I honestly do not like iRacing. It's probably not a very popular take. I hate iRacing, actually. But the General Motors manufacturer sim is a big help for us race teams and us drivers.
I'm fascinated by those because, like, you know, I've talked to different drivers that have said how realistic it is. Like, if you go, like, Texas, you just raced at, has that bump that everybody was talking about. Like, did it help you with that?
Yeah, you know, your car and your weekend starts in a simulator. So it's as much for the team as it is for me as a driver. If anything, it doesn't really help me as a driver, just because once you've been to the place, you know how it looks. Yes. But the simulator, you really predict your car balance, and that's just how you set the tone for your weekend. It starts there.
Now, how did you feel getting ready for Texas? And you're like, yeah, we're feeling good. And then all of a sudden, Kyle Larson's name pops up on the entry list.
I love it. I love when Cup guys, especially someone like Kyle Larson, as talented as he is, I love when they come running our series, because I got to race him. Me and him were running for second there for a little bit. And, you know, you take him out of the race, and I probably lead 60 or 70 laps. But I'd rather finish second to someone like Kyle Larson than win without him there. That's for sure.
Do you? And I know in the moment you're racing, you're not really seeing what he's doing. But when you go back and watch, do you pick some things up? Like, you see, okay, well, he kind of did that in that line. Like, is that something that you can use?
You know, with someone like that, it's not necessarily that he's doing something different than you as far as where he's running on the racetrack. It's just a level he's running at. And, you know, I was trying to keep him behind me, and I was having to drive 100%, and that's just the way he drives. That's the way those top cup guys drive, and it allows me to, you know, raise myself up to that level, and, you know, to get better as a race car driver.
You won at Daytona. Yes. How was that? I mean, it was an ARCA. I mean, not ARCA. It was
a truck race last year.
But you won at Daytona.
Yeah, it was really cool. It was my first career win in the truck series last year. And, yeah, it was a really cool moment. And it's a very hard place to win because, in some ways, it's not really in your control.
So when you get in victory lane, was that just overwhelm? I mean, I would think you're at Daytona and victory. What do you call it again?
Victory lane, winner's circle,
whatever. Yeah. Chase is a race guy. I'm learning every day.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say it's overwhelming. I mean, you're just excited. You're over the moon, I guess. And you know, you remember all the hard work to get there and all that. But once you get in victory lane, you just want to go back again. It's addicting.
Oh, I'm sure it is. What is it about the pool of this sport that gets so many people fired up?
I think the competition, right? The competition's everything. You know, all of us, we're competitors, and we want to beat each other, and we want to win. And that's what drives me. I'm a competitor at heart, and I love racing. So you just want to be better than the next guy.
Nick Sanchez is here with us. We're at Gibson Guitar. How cool would it be to win one of these Gibson guitars coming up in a few weeks at the Nashville Super Speedway?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I've been close to getting one in 2023 in a truck. So yep. There's not many trophies that you could look, you want every trophy as a race car driver, but there's a couple that you leave the track a little bit more bummed out that you didn't get, and that guitar is one of them. So I want to right the wrongs and try to get it.
What do you like about Nashville? Because you're right, you've been pretty good there.
Yeah, Nashville is just such a unique track because we only go to a couple concrete tracks, Bristol, obviously, and then Dover, which are, you know, traditional ovals. Nashville's like a tri-oval, mile-and-a-half style, but it's concrete, and it races unlike any other track that we go to, and it's just so unique, and it's a driver's track, and it's the way you drive that track, the finesse that you need is different than most other tracks.
Will you double dip here or no?
No, just the Xfinity race.
When you want to double dip, how does that go about? You say, hey, I'm going to drive trucks this weekend. Do you have to clear it with your boss? Look,
everything needs to go through my boss, Scott Prochetta.
Right.
You know, I double dipped in the truck series at Texas for Spire Motorsports, you know, a team I had a relationship with the past 2 years. So, every now and then I'll probably do that. But, you know, my main job is Saturday.
That's right.
No, that's what pays the bills. You have not raced in the Cup Series yet.
No.
Have you been in a Gen 7 car at all?
Only in the simulator.
Only in the simulator.
Yeah.
So what was kind of your takeaway with that? Because, like, there's been so much Ross Chastain walking in. So many changes with the car. With that Gen 7 car that I'm sure is completely different from an Xfinity car.
Yeah, I mean, look, in a simulator, it just feels like a regular race car. It honestly kind of drives like a truck.
Yeah.
But I don't think, you know, the single lap stuff is what makes that car what it is. It's the racing. The racing's super hard, and the cars are so close, it's hard to pass another car, right? Because when you're running the same stuff, it's hard to get an edge. So I think it'll be a totally different story, you know, when I get the chance to run it in real life. But, yeah, feels like another race car.
What's your favorite track?
All of them.
Yes. I should know better than ask a NASCAR guy that. Yeah, perfect.
How cool was it to, you know, to kind of look at the Xfinity schedule and, you know, obviously it matches up with the Cup schedule quite a bit, but to be able to go back to Rockingham and just the history there with the Rockingham Speedway, how cool was that?
Yeah, it was really cool. You know, obviously they raced there way before my time. I think the last race they had there was a year before I started kart racing.
Yeah.
So it was never a race that I watched on TV, and I don't really have any nostalgia from there. But I think going back, you know, a lot of my crew guys and just the fan reception just shows how important a place like that has in our sport. And I think it's great for the series.
Well, NASCAR's done a good job with that the last few years. North Wilkesboro, and you race there in the trucks. Rockingham, you know, obviously
for sure.
Nashville's a historic city at a different track, but the fairgrounds could certainly be in play as well. I think it's been cool to kind of see the new stuff, but also going back to the roots.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, NASCAR, it's never... you always want to remember where you came from, right? In NASCAR, you think of Daytona, Martinsville, and I feel like you put the Rockinghams and the Wilkesboros in there, and I think they definitely have a place on our schedule. And yeah, the reception going back makes you question why we ever left.
Ooh, that's a good one. Last one for me, all-time favorite driver?
For me growing up, my favorite driver was Dale Earnhardt Jr.
It's a good one.
Larger-than-life figure, and I would say that he would probably go down as my favorite.
Have you gotten to interact with him much?
I interacted with him very briefly, but just racing with his cars on the racetrack,
yeah,
it's pretty cool. I'm trying to beat him.
Yeah, for sure. Nick, thanks so much for doing this. Good luck here in a couple of weeks at Charlotte and then Nashville. I mean, that's the next two is Charlotte and Nashville, but good to talk to you again.
Yeah, thank you.
We'll be cheering Nick on with the Tennessee Lottery 250 coming up on May 31st. That's a Saturday, and it'll be under the lights at the Nashville Super Speedway. Really looking forward to that. Coming up next, Ross Chastain. He finished second last weekend at the Texas Motor Speedway. He's a former winner of the Cracker Barrel 400. We'll catch up with Ross and also Nashville Super Speedway General Manager Matt Greachy. We'll do that all coming up next here on Chasing Checkers, presented by the Nashville Super Speedway on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
You're listening to Chasing Checkers on the Game Nashville Sports Network.
Chase McCabe back here on Chasing Checkers, 102.5, 106.3 The Game at the beautiful Gibson Garage here in Nashville, Tennessee, with a former Cracker Barrel 400 winner, Ross Chastain, driver of the number one for Trackhouse. Ross, I know you've been asked this all day, but I got to lead off with this. You haven't learned how to play one of these yet, have you?
I have not, man. I respect it too much. I let the people that know how to play them play. I got to find somebody to play my guitar, though. We have one.
I can do that. I mean, I know a little bit. I grew up in Nashville, so, you know, that was kind of something that I think I had to learn. But, no, I like that answer because you drive race cars, you're good at that, and there are a ton of musicians here in Nashville that are good at guitar. So I respect that answer.
Yeah, it goes back to – all right, I'll tie it back to watermelons. We grow watermelons. Everybody should just buy our watermelons. They shouldn't try to grow them on their own. People tell me all the time, hey, I'm growing watermelons in my garden. I'm like, what about my family? We're growing them for a living here.
Yeah, you are the watermelon man for sure. How's your season gone to this point? How do you feel about things?
I would say good, not great, if I had to describe it. We're in the ballpark sometimes. Sometimes we're way off. So trying to get those 20th place efforts to 15th and 15th to 10th. We had a really good race ending at Texas, a good final stage. Got the car better, had some good breaks in the race. Finally, a pit cycle caution went the right way for us. We've been caught the wrong way a couple of times on that this year. So, yeah, excited to come out of Texas good. Had a shot at the win, right? Pushed the winner to the win. Pushed the 22 out on the last restart. And wanted the 71 to win, wanted McDowell to win. But I was really proud of the effort that we ground through. We were started back in the 30s and just really ground through the day. So days like that prove that we can do it. And you know, looking ahead, if we get the car right, we'll have a shot to win, and that's all we ask for.
You bring up Texas. I thought you were going to win. I really did. I was watching it, and you know that last restart, I guess it was. I'm like, Ross is probably going to get this thing here. But you mentioned Joey kind of got up front. Was that one of those, if you had a couple more laps, you might have could have caught him?
No. He had me covered. another restart, get the restart next to him, get position, get that you know, line up side by side. Then we'll have a shot. Then it's about the push, and you saw McDowell take the lead on older tires. We had equal tires to the 22, but definitely needed another restart to give it a shot. But the way our day and weekend went, after practicing qualifying in the back, running the first half of the race in the back of the pack, I was happy with fourth, and then McDowell wrecked, and we had another shot. We got to second. So, yeah, was happy to have a shot at it, but no, was not going to catch or pass the 22.
Texas is one of those tracks. It's you got to know what you're doing, especially with this new car, right? I mean, with the bumps, especially that one bump that everybody was talking about. Did you feel tired after that race, feel tested?
Not tired, probably energy from the good finish. And then, yeah, early, the first two stages of the race, I couldn't run up there. Where those guys were spinning out, I would have also crashed. So I saw the 21, I saw the 8, and I just stayed down to the bottom because I was going to crash. Then, in stage 3, we got our car better, and I was able to go up there and make some time. So I could run through that bump and be confident. But before that, no, I had to just be cautious and get the car better. We worked on it on all the pit stops, and got it better by the end. So Texas is tough. That's why you see so many guys wreck.
Talking with Ross Chastain, Nashville Super Speedway coming up at the end of the month. Mitch, and you have won here before. What makes this track so much fun?
It's a little bit of everything, right? All these tracks are a little different, and with this one, it's a unique size, unique shape. With this, as long as the straightaways are, but as tight as the turns are, it looks like a mile and a half to me. And when I pull on track and go down the straightaway, I feel like I'm at Kansas or Charlotte or Texas. And then I get to the corner and I realize, whoa, this is a tight corner. It's relatively flat with the concrete. I got to slow way down. We have to use a lot of brakes. We bring big brake packages here like we would at short tracks. Where you go to a place like Texas, we barely use the brakes. So definitely something that makes it unique. It puts on good racing. We're able to spread out. They spray it with resin, and we're able to move up the track over the weekend. So excited. I'll run the Xfinity race as well on Saturday and the Cup race on Sunday.
Yeah, it's funny. You bring up how those turns are, and they're different. Like, you know, 1 and 2 are different than 3 and 4. The first time that I rode in a pace car on the track, I realized how that wall really sneaks up on you. Is that something that you kind of see younger drivers that maybe have never raced here before, that it kind of bites them early in practice?
It almost bit me when we came here with the Cup car for the first time. I had tested here in a truck, but you have a lot less power, a lot more downforce, so slower on the straightaway, faster through the corners. We came here with the 42 car in 2021 with Chip Ganassi Racing. I drove down into turn 3 coming off pit road in practice and thought, okay. And then I came down the front stretch full speed, went into 1, and I was as hard on the brake as I could. I slid up the track, almost crashed. Did the same thing in qualified in the back. So we would ultimately run second that day. It was definitely close. I almost was bit by the first lap practice. And yeah, you see that with the younger guys and me. I had been here before and still did it.
You talked about this kind of being a hometown race for Trackhouse, and Justin, you know, he and his family live here and the headquarters is here. So does that make it more fun, add extra pressure, maybe a little bit of both when you come here in a few weeks?
Well, there's a lot of people that were here that were involved in the early days of Trackhouse, and this is where the heart is. That's what I like to say is, yes, the shop's in North Carolina, but it was formed here, founded here. This is where the team, the idea for that Justin had was here. And there's a lot of people early on that bought in and invested in the team and sponsored the team, like Tootsie's early on, that are still part of the team, that it meant a lot when we won in 23. And no matter what, we have a lot of people at this race every year.
Yeah, it's never a bad idea to have a bar as a sponsor for a race team, especially after a win, right? A
lot of Busch Light there, too. So we tie it all together.
Ross, good to catch up with you. Good luck in Kansas this weekend, and we'll see you here in a couple weeks at the Nashville Super Speedway.
Can't wait to get back.
Chasing Checkers, 102.5, 106.3, the game. The Cracker Barrel 400 weekend coming up May 30th through June the 1st at the Nashville Super Speedway. And Matt Grecci is here with us, the GM of the Nashville Super Speedway. First of all, those guitars that you unveiled today here at Gibson Garage, beautiful. It's so cool to see the design that works into the series, but also Nashville as well. How cool was it to be a part of that?
Super cool. One of my favorite days each year that we get to unveil these trophies. And actually, today was the first time I've seen them. I obviously saw the designs and the renderings of them. But when you see it in person, it's unique. And then you see the driver's eyes light up and know that's what they're racing for come May 30th through June 1st.
You've been in the sport a long time. I can remember back in the old days before the Cup Series that a lot of the Cup drivers would come race here because they wanted that guitar. And you mentioned the long relationship that Gibson has had. Did you realize before you got to Nashville and the Nashville Super Speedway just how important it was and how much the drivers love that guitar trophy?
Not until I got here and saw it and seen it in person. And then what we try to do with Gibson as a partner is just how do you make sure we elevate it too? And doing the unveils here each year definitely does that. But then seeing the emotions of the drivers when you get to hand it to them in victory lane and see the true joy and emotion, because it is a unique trophy. It's one of one. We lean into what Nashville is, and Gibson is a tremendous partner for us.
I'm just ready for one of these guys in one of the series to win the thing and come back the next year and just start, you know, shredding on the. I mean, they got to learn how to play these things, right, Matt?
They need to. Dawson said if he wins it, he'll go take lessons. We need to make sure that's maybe something we do in victory lane and give him some certificates, go get some lessons.
Another thing that's new this year is a partner Cracker Barrel taking over as the title sponsor of the Cup Series race, the Cracker Barrel 400. When you guys made that announcement, I remember going, I mean, could you have come up with a more perfect sponsor, being based in Lebanon and obviously very, very much Nashville? How cool it'd be to see that logo in the ball field come race weekend.
Yeah, I saw it on the guitar today and I was like, oh man, it just works. And saying Cracker Barrel 400 is perfect. I don't think we could have picked a better partner for us to be engaged with and making sure we're leaning into the NASCAR fan and the engagement throughout the year and helping drive traffic to their tremendous stores and their great product. And we hope to bring that home, Cracker Barrel 400.
Somebody listen to this. They haven't made that purchase yet. May 30th through June the 1st. You can go to all three races. They're all at night. NashvilleSuperspeedway.com or 1-866-RACE-TIX. But, I mean, it's a big weekend. They need to go out and get their tickets.
Got to get tickets now. We've got some great options. 1-866-RACE-TIX. Children 12 and under, $10 the entire weekend. So family affordable, entertainment value. Come on out and see us.
And the other thing, too, is, you know, not just watching the race. You can do stuff in the infield. There's a lot of different packages that fans can choose from, right?
Yeah, if you want to come out and camp and be trackside, we've got that option. If you want to sit in the grandstands, we got that. We got fan engagement in the fan zone. You will see value from the moment you get on the grounds all the way through the checkered flag.
Matt, I'm looking forward to it. This is going to be number 5 for me. Really, really excited about it. And so it's going to be a fun weekend here in just a few weeks.
We can't wait. May 30 through June 1st. Thanks, Chase.
It's Matt Greachy, the general manager of the Nashville Super Speedway, joining me earlier today, as well as Ross Chastain. Coming up next, Dawson Sutton, Craftsman Truck Series driver for Rackley War, which is another Nashville-based team. He will join us next with me and Big Joe Dubin from the Chase and Big Joe Show here on Chasing Checkers, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
You're in the Pod Center on the Game Nashville Sports Network.
Welcome back into Chasing Checkers here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville Sports Network. I'm Chase McCabe with you. And earlier today, I was at the Gibson Garage with the Nashville Super Speedway. We did our daily show, the Chasing Big Joe Show, which you can hear weekdays 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game with me and Big Joe Dubin. And Dawson Sutton, who is a local driver, he raced at the fairgrounds. Now he races for his dad's team along with Willie Allen, the Rackley War team in the Craftsman Truck Series. He came and sat down with us, and I got to tell you, it was good to sit down with this 19-year-old with a very bright future.
Dawson, only 19 years old, but has been racing for a while and out at the fairgrounds. He'll be at the Super Speedway coming up in about 3 weeks, but running for the hometown team, running for your dad. How cool is that?
It's awesome. You know, it's super cool to, you know, race, you know, out of the stable here. Well, we moved to North Carolina at the end of last year, but we're still a hometown team at the end of the day.
We claim you.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That's right.
You know, it's super cool to, you know, race for, you know, like I said, you know, a Tennessee team, and there's not many of them at all. There's none of them. So it's super cool to, you know, have that, you know, that perseverance and just being able to race here and, you know, race at the local tracks and being able to go to the National Super Speedway here in a few weeks.
Is there any extra pressure knowing that it's the Rackley Roofing 200?
Oh, yeah, exactly. All the pressure in the world on that one.
Everybody there is like, hey, man, don't let us down. Come on, go win this thing.
Exactly. I've already heard it enough from my dad and everybody else. It's a big one. You know, I raced in it last year as well.
Yep.
That was my second race ever. So it's super cool to, you know, get back there with a little bit more experience and hopefully, you know, being able to make some people proud.
You can't win or lose, because if you win, they're like, ah, that's all Rackley, no wonder. And if you don't win, you're like, oh, man, it's your race there. But at the end of the day, I'm talking to you, you're having the time of your life.
Yeah, it's super cool, you know, being able to go there, and let alone just, you know, being able to race in the truck series. It's super cool to have that experience each and every week. And, you know, I'm new to this as well. I started racing 3 years ago. So it's cool to get, you know, all these races under my belt and to go to places like Daytona and, you know, even National Super Speedway for, you know, the Rackley Roofing 200. It'll be cool to go there here in a few weeks and hopefully try to win.
How did you get into this?
Yeah, I got into this, like I said, 3 years ago. So I'm still pretty new. You know, a lot of kids started when they were 4 years old. And I started, I went to Daytona for the first time. My dad sponsored a truck. And as soon as I walked through the tunnel there, I really fell in love with it. I fell in love with the racing. So that's, you know, really how it started. It's super cool to, you know, being able to go to, you know, all these racetracks that, you know, I always dreamed about racing at. Well, I say dreamed, but I really didn't know anything about racing until about 4 years ago. So, but I mean, it's super cool to go to all these places and just learn and, you know, have fun each and every week.
How big of a jump is it? You said you run the late model stuff too, to go from these short tracks to sitting in a truck at Daytona, which is a 2.5 mile super speedway, or Talladega. I mean, like, that's got to be a little shocking.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, you're moving. You have a lot of speed. It's a lot. It's a bigger jump from the late model stuff. But at the end of the day, I really think the truck stuff is, it feels a lot slower than the late model stuff. You know, my super late model has 650 horsepower and it weighs, you know, nothing, little to none. So there's so much more power. And you know, if we really went to those big tracks in a super late model, it'd just be too dangerous. But you have so much speed, and then you get in the truck, and you know, they're a lot less horsepower, but you race on the bigger tracks, and it's a lot more aero dependent. But I mean, it's super cool still, like you said, to, you know, get to, you know, some of those bigger tracks and you know, move upwards of 200 miles per hour. It's pretty crazy.
You are 19 years old. Yes, sir. Dawson, at 19, I was stealing money out of my mother's purse. You're riding these big tracks. I mean, this is with you. I mean, how much fun are you having now that you understand what's going on?
Yeah, it's awesome. You know, I really didn't know what I was going to do until about 3 years ago when I found racing. So to be just being able to have it on my back and being able to just go have fun. You know, I'm young. You know, also, you just got to have fun in racing. You know, if you're not having fun, I don't think there's a point to do it. And you know, you just got to do your best as well, because you know, it's my job. So it's super cool to being able to have it, you know, such a fun job, and I get to do it so much, and I'm just so thankful for, you know, all my sponsors and my team for putting in such hard work. And I'm just super thankful that I get to do this sport, and luckily enough that I can do it.
Look at you, man. You'll do more interviews. You'll do more press things going on, be part of your life, man. Where do you see yourself 5 years?
Yeah, for sure. You know, my goal is to be in the Cup Series, you know, here in a few years, maybe 2-3 years. It was the goal. Hopefully, you know, win a truck championship in the next few years. You know, right now I'm just getting experience, like I said, in some of these bigger tracks. And it's really been a good learning curve. Last week I finished 9th at Texas, a top 10, and I was, you know, happy with it. I'll take, you know, all the top 10s that I can get, all the top 5s, and, you know, it's just a learning experience at the end of the day. And then once you, you know, really get that experience under your belt, you really can move up into the higher series. And then just the Cup Series, or the how NASCAR works now, you get little to none practice. You get 20 minutes of practice each week,
right,
and you go straight to qualifying. So it's super hard to, you know, being able to adjust, you know, each and every week, and really you just rely on the simulator that you get to do, you know, each and every week.
Will you settle a bet for us? Is it Lebanon or Lebanon?
Lebanon.
Oh, okay. Well, at least it's not Lebanon.
Lebanon.
And that's your hometown, right? No. That's your place.
Yep.
Dawson Sutton is here with us, driver for Rackley War. Will you do the late model event the night before the truck race out at the fairgrounds?
Yeah, I will. It's my first race there this season, and you know, I raced the whole season there last year, so I'm really looking forward to getting back there and hopefully picking up a win.
Do you kind of walk in there and go, I'm going to school these kids, show them what's up. This is my place.
That's right. That's how I feel every time I go there. I feel like, you know, I have so much experience there from the past 2 years, and it's my home track at the end of the day. You know, I'm a short track guy, and being able to go there and race my late model, it's super cool. And I feel like, you know, every time we go there, we have really, really, really good speed. And I'm just looking forward to getting back to there.
Do you like it when some of the Cup guys show up for an event like that? I think Josh is going to maybe run it, Josh Berry. But, I mean, that's got to be cool to race against those guys.
Yeah, I love it. You know, they're short track guys too. So, you know, they came from the same place I came from. And getting able to, you know, being able to race those guys that have so much experience, it's super cool. But, you know, I should still beat them at the end of the day just because I race late models more than they do. And, you know, they're in a higher series. So, it's super cool to race them.
Take no mercy for people. Hey, have you wrecked the Rackley truck yet?
I have wrecked it once.
Did Dad come down on you?
No. Okay. he wants me to.
You're grounded.
He wants me to put it, you know, all out on the racetrack each and every week, and you know that's all I can really do.
Good.
It's super cool to, you know, have him and being able to just go, you know, do my best each and every week.
Love it.
Well, Dawson, good luck with the rest of the year, and also a couple weeks, 3 weeks at the Nashville Super Speedway. We'll be cheering for you.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
And our thanks to Dawson Sutton, Nick Sanchez, Ross Chastain, and Matt Grecci for hanging out with us at the Gibson Garage earlier today. Again, they unveiled the trophies, the guitars, the actual Gibson guitars that the winning drivers are going to get in all three of those National Series races. You can check it all out on the video version of the podcast and also on my X account at Chase on Game as well. That is going to do it for this week. It went by fast and furious. Again, subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts by going to Chasing Checkers. Sometimes you'll get extended content with those as well. And my thanks to the Nashville Super Speedway. Again, 1-866-RACE-TICKS or visit NashvilleSuperspeedway.com to get those tickets to the Cracker Barrel 400 weekend coming up May 30th through June the 1st at the Nashville Super Speedway. It's just 3 weeks away. Cannot wait for that. That is going to do it for this edition of Chasing Checkers. We're back every Wednesday night at 6 right here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game and The Game Nashville Sports Network.
Check out all of our podcasts at thegamenashville.com or find us on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, and all other major podcast platforms.